Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Naturalist Capitalist. I'm your host, Reed Coverdale, as always. And today, on the other end, I've got a guy who I don't know if anyone else in the world is a more like-minded soul than he is, at least that I've seen online. We've enjoyed a lot of each other's takes. He's been following me since the original days, my first Twitter account back before I even had a show. He's Will Bell. He's a blueberry farmer from Georgia, fellow libertarian, fellow shit poster, fellow witness to the fall of Rome. How you doing, Will?
Doing fine, man. Thanks for having me on the show. Like, this is kind of weird. We've known each other for years, and you've like, you know, it's kind of like our first meeting.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, so let's see. It was March 2020. When I really started going to Twitter hardcore, and it was right around the time that the CARES Act was being passed. And you, like me, had also been interested in Tulsi Gabbard in 2020. So I don't know. I think you were at the time too, pretty angry at a lot of stuff she was starting to do, kind of going along with the COVID regime and everything. So there was all this frustration and confusion. And I was trying to get back into the libertarian party thing because I'd been kind of disaffected from the 2016 race, and so I was trying to get back into it and trying to convince other people to get back into it. That was around the time that we came across each other's paths. But what was that time like for you, like the beginning of the lockdowns? I mean, you have a business and everything, so what was that whole time period like? What was going through your head? What were you freaking out about?
Well, like everybody, we were freaking out, like it, just about the virus before the lockdowns. I honestly never thought we'd get to this level of discourse, you know, with what they're talking about now. I'm here in South Georgia. I have not had any problems with the government as far as lockdowns or masks or anything. The little bit that like me and my family wore them outside of like, my wife and a lot of my family that's like working in the healthcare system, was just voluntary, just kind of doing it in a store, going in and with in a crowd. But I couldn't imagine what other people are going through. The stuff I'm hearing, like, you know, and I don't even know if it's really that bad in Atlanta, but like what I hear out of New York and California and stuff is, I don't know. I would be shouting on the mountaintops too. But as far as I've seen, it's mainly just been, you know, stuff slowed down because nobody's shopping. We had a storefront for our wine. We make a blueberry wine, and we had a storefront in Brunswick, and we decided at the very beginning of this just to kind of close it down. It was just kind of like a satellite winery, just something that we were operating, and it turned into a ghost town real quick. And I don't think that kind of window shopping has come back since. It's I drive down where we had it, and it's just places are closed down and stuff. And I don't know. It's been the craziest episode of our lives. Like, I think this is the disease itself has been crazy. And then the government reaction to it has just made everybody crazy. And then the fact that it's been politicized and everybody's like, if you don't, you know, set to this thinking, you're a liberal asshole. And if you don't go to this set, you're a crazy MAGA asshole. And it's just, I don't know. It's hard to talk about this shit, really. In libertarian circles, especially in libertarian circles, because everybody is completely gaslit about this shit. I was going to, like, we talked about doing this for a little while, and I was going to come on here and be kind of a shitty reason type libertarian and just be like, look, guys, get the vaccine, it's smart. And then the shit that we just saw out of New York where they're mandating vaccine passes, I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, I have not taken the vaccine because I don't really need it for my age demographic that I'm in. But you know, if you're 65 and overweight and have asthma or something, you know, like that's a different scenario. And it puts us in a tough position because I feel like a lot of libertarians are just contrarians. They just want to oppose whatever the status quo is, even though the status quo can occasionally be correct. But then when you're going along with the status quo because they're correct about something, you also can be supporting ulterior motives that are really bad. So, I mean, we're seeing this with Cuba. You know, like Cuba's bad. Neither of us like the government of Cuba. Yeah. But then some of the talking points people use to talk about Cuba, I mean, they're basically setting the stage for if we went in and did a regime change operation there, we would have pretty much paved the way for it with our rhetoric and made it acceptable. So it's kind of the same thing with COVID. It's really tough to figure out what to do, you know, like what's the responsible position to have? Like, you know, you can be like, yeah, you should get the vaccine or I'm going to get the vaccine or whatever. But then at the same time, yeah, we've really got to stand against, you know, the authoritarian legislation that's being passed. But I don't know. I mean, it's just it's a tough place to be in, especially, you know, if I weren't in my position, if I were someone who was a school teacher or something or worked where I had to get vaccinated. I mean, it does complicate things. And I feel like a lot of people just don't have any nuance about it. And they're, you know, it's easy to be a purist missionary when your life doesn't have to take drastic changes depending on what your position is on something, I guess.
For sure. Absolutely. Like me as a farmer, I could sit out here and I'm barely affected by it. But my wife works in the hospital. The rest of most of her family's in a hospital. We, you know, pretty much every hospital in driving distance, I got a family member working in it. And they're, you know, they don't want to hear my shit when I'm talking about the nuances of government policy. I mean, they're not sitting here clamoring for you know, any of the shit that CNN is. Honestly, most of them are apolitical and are really just happy Trump's gone and tired from working in the hospital. They have been overloaded. They're like, and I hate to say it, this, but like the Delta variant, whatever that we've all been making fun of, I have too online and stuff, but it does seem to be coming through my community, at least like through the hospitals. They are having a surge in patients now. It's hard to know if it's like at the peak of the surge or if it's getting worse, but you know, I don't know, but we'll see. It's going to get people, whoever wants to get vaccinated in Georgia is going to get vaccinated, and whoever doesn't, it ain't going to happen here in Georgia. I don't see anything. I don't know. Shit. Like I said, 5 minutes ago, I didn't imagine it would get this crazy at the beginning of COVID. So who knows what they're going to propose?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the radicalization of the response is the fault of the establishment and the fault of the media, because, you know, level-headed people would never react the way that they have if the initial arm of the government hadn't been so tyrannical and so ridiculous, and if all these guidelines that they gave us weren't so stupid and so irrational and so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I believe in climate change. I think it's a real thing. But when, you know, they talk about their proposals to combat climate change, or, you know, they have these yearly timeframes down to, you know, oh, we got to do something within 12 years or the world's going to end. And, you know, to expect me to not think that there's any sort of political ramifications calculated there within your time range, or, you know, within within whatever fear propaganda you're selling, I'm just not going to buy it. And it's kind of the same thing with this COVID stuff. Like, if they if they'd actually just told us what was going on and then given us suggestions, kind of like Sweden did, I think the reaction from the public would have been completely different. You know, I think I basically just blame all the irrationalities on the government and the media and the businesses that have been pushing all this shit.
I'm with you completely, man. It's people don't like to be told what to do. And I think that's a very positive attribute in Americans, that like, we don't want our government telling us what to do. And they're really treating us like children in this. Shutting down conversation around it, it's really hard to know what's real. You know, I'm not going to trust CNN and MSNBC and all that. Who can at this point? I mean, what person that's halfway red-pilled or whatever about this can like really trust them to be like telling us exactly what's going on? And then like when it's cutting, how do you feel? Like, are you pretty comfortable talking about all this stuff without getting kicked off from YouTube or whatever?
Like, yeah, I mean, so I didn't really talk about COVID much when it was a red topic that you couldn't touch, that you'd get banned for. Because honestly, I thought it was a distraction. Like, I didn't care about mask mandates. I cared about, you know, the billions of dollars going to, you know, corporations and foreign countries. And, you know, I felt like they were trying to distract us with these obvious social splits. And one of those things was masks. You know, I mean, it was pretty much right down the middle. You would wear a mask if you're a Democrat and you wouldn't if you were a Republican. So I'm not a fan of masks, but I didn't really want to get into that fight so much. First of all, because I didn't really care. Like, I mean, if I've got to wear a mask into a store, it just wasn't that big of a deal for me. I mean, I was against mask mandates, but I just didn't care that much. Like, I like you. I mean, I'm not working inside all day and it doesn't affect me that much. If it did, I probably would have cared more. If I were a cashier or something, I wouldn't have wanted to wear a mask all day long. But I'm a truck driver, so it was just when I'd go to get my fuel receipt or whatever. So it just wasn't a hill I was going to die on. But this year I started talking about it more because I felt like it was getting more ridiculous. And the you know, the vaccine passport thing that was talked about back in whatever that was, April or May. Was it that long ago now? April? I don't know. Whenever that was, that really fired me up to start actually talking about it, because that was like a next step to me. That was no longer just these stupid rules like, oh, you got to wear a mask or you don't have to wear a mask or you got to be 6 feet apart. Like, that stuff sucks. But at the end of the day, it's kind of okay, whatever, as long as they're not actually arresting people. Because, you know, like you, I was in Utah, you know, you were in Georgia, and I mean, they were mostly like guidelines. They weren't really rules. I mean, not everyone was wearing masks. Not everyone was 6 feet apart. And I never heard of people getting arrested in Utah. I mean, probably some did, but it was very, very rare if it ever happened. I wasn't in Manhattan or Los Angeles where that type of stuff was going on. So it wasn't the forefront of what I was ever talking about until the mass or until the vaccine passport idea got rolled out, I guess.
I'm with you. Like, I wasn't talking about it really that much at all. Like, still, even it's almost like you don't want to talk about it in libertarian circles, because you almost get kind of painted as one of the lobotarians or whatever, them guys. But, the mandates are just like, we got to focus on, like, even if it's like they're mandating us to eat our vegetables, like, it might be like good for us. I'm not even arguing that all the things that they're trying to say are right. It's been shown that a lot of the crap is just kind of talking points that they've done, and they've changed it for whatever's convenient. But some people are taking it a little far, like talking about like, damn, magnets in our skin. And literally today in a dentist office, the lady was just kind of like subtly bringing up that she thinks the government's trying to kill us. And I've been a libertarian for years, and I was just like, I don't think they're that evil, but they want us as their tax cows. They're not just going to like distribute. Again, I don't want to be that guy that's like, no, they're not. Obviously, they're not going to do this. But I mean, shit. What we have to focus on is arguing against their ability to tell us what to do. Not if it's the right thing to do, not if, and try not to go into conspiracy land until we got fucking hard evidence of any of this kind of, bold claims people are making. And people I respect in the liberty movement that I have fought and defended in Twitter world and all that kind of stuff are just kind of, I don't know, man. They seem like they're getting into Alex Jones territory, where we need to focus on the Ryan Dawson territory and show the receipts of all this kind of shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The Alex Jones versus Ryan Dawson.
That's one thing you've really like. I'm a big Joe Rogan guy. That's kind of like what I would say even got me towards the pathway to libertarianism was just Joe Rogan. And it was always like Alex Jones was that fun mascot conspiracy guy. And it was always like I kind of had that Joe Rogan opinion of like he's right about shit and he just kind of gets out of hand. And I think it was a conversation you were having with Ryan Dawson, who I didn't know this guy, but man, he lays it down. He sits there and explains basically everything he's talking about. And he was kind of like throwing shade at things that Alex Jones doesn't talk about. And it really makes you go, oh, okay. Yeah. I've never heard him say anything about that certain thing that I don't even want to be like acting like I'm dancing around, because that's even like dog whistling some people. But there's, the big bad state of Israel or whatever. Like when you start talking about that, you get painted as a racist or whatever and stuff. And like, has he ever talked about that or anything, like Alex Jones? Like he talks about like human hybrid, pigs and stuff, but he's never mentioned the problems that are going on there. And that it's like all roads lead back to that kind of in a lot of our America's decisions on stuff. I don't know how COVID dives into it, but I'm sure somewhere there's like some people connected to the state of Israel that are making money off of this.
There probably are, but I like what you're saying there, because what he really points out is that like the kook movement is what he calls it, is the people who just take everything to an extreme without any evidence. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And they completely delegitimize real concerns about something. So I think there are some concerns about the vaccines, but I don't think that they're a depopulation scheme or that they're putting magnets in your skin whatever these other ideas are. And I've had people on the show who think it is, and I let them say that, but that's not my opinion. But.
And they should be able to say it. They should be able to go down that avenue and prove it. And if they are putting magnets in our skin, I want to know. And if they got to sit here and talk to us about it and be proven wrong or right, that's what we got to do. That's what got us all here to libertarianism. If all the like weird, kooky modes of thought were cut off, like none of us are going to get here. Like it's all like people on the outside talking about this crazy shit that kind of like lights a fire in our ass or whatever and gets us towards this.
Yeah.
Whatever it's going to come out to be.
Yeah. So I wonder, you, Ryan, and I are all atheists, and we're not like liberal atheists who I consider religious usually. They've got like this. I mean, even if they, putting their religious worship of the state aside, even their atheism is like a religion. Like they're just so they're so anti-religious and triggered by anything religious that they're just ridiculous. But where you, Ryan, and I are coming from, we want we're looking for proof. You know, we're looking for actual substantiation of facts. So I feel like so many other people, they bring this same idea of religion that they have. Like, you can't prove to me that my religion doesn't exist. And it's like, whoa, hold on, buddy. That's not how that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't
make old claims. Alex Jones level claims on reality. Like, you show your receipts or whatever we need to do. On that note, talk and tying back to the COVID, what do you think some of these uber Christian guys are talking about when they're talking about the atheist libertarians are going to start trying to talk about how the vaccine passports aren't that bad or what, wherever you saw what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Guys I respect and like in the liberty movement. They don't know me. I'm a nobody. I just kind of like halfway get on Twitter. I'm normally a day behind all the jokes, trying to figure them out. Sometimes you'll help me out on a tower gang. Like, I want to participate. But like, I mean, shit, I'm trying. There's a lot of people that I know, like in my life, that are semi-libertarians that they did vote for Gary Johnson in both cycles. Like, I was here kind of, you know, doing that thing, whatever. It didn't amount to nothing. Really, it's all just kind of whatever. But there are people that aren't like full on like Rothbardian anarchists or whatever. Like, I kind of consider myself that, I guess. Kind of feels dorky. I'm a libertarian, whatever. But there are people that are like, when they hear people talking about magnets in our skin and abortion being murder, people believe that, and that's fine. And I'm not like going to make a hard stance on it, but people are like trying to do hardcore Christian values into libertarianism. And I know more people here in South Georgia, like down here in one of the most rural places in Georgia, like the libertarians I'm seeing are not like what I think people outside are expecting. Like, we're more liberal minded, liberal, not New York liberal, but liberal down here, like that. We don't want to hear that, really. Mm-hmm. Or I'm here for the whole thing. I get that there's a lot of people and a lot of different flavors of it. But I know a lot of people in my friend group and family that aren't ready to go down the full tilt. You know, they're, you know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was kind of the whole point of the Liberty Unity thing at the beginning was, you know, let's put this crazy stuff aside and just focus on the big issues that 99% of us agree on, you know. So like, and the wars and the Fed, and the war on drugs, demilitarize the police, you know, all the basic things. And then, you know, if you know, the sinking of the Titanic was orchestrated by the Federal Reserve or something, if that's your rabbit hole you want to go down, like, fine, but just don't, like, I don't know, don't make that the forefront of what you're talking about. Because,
and I've been down those rabbit holes. Like, sure. I'm in that shit. I was a child of 9/11, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of like crazy roads I've been down and thinking a lot of dumb bullshit. And I don't know what is true and not in all of them things, but I've definitely like built a little bit of a skill set in like bullshit detecting, of like kind of like following a person or like a group of people for a while, and then just really finding out, like, they're just starting to talk in religious tones of this like specific idea in all kind of different like fields of conspiracy or political thought. A lot of it gets a little kooky, and I don't know. I really, like you said, I want to end the wars. I want to end the drug war. I want to sit here and like live in kind of the free society that we're kind of sold as kids, like what America is supposed to be. I don't think it ever was that. And a lot of like conservative types want to go back to this era that I don't think ever existed. You know, we're just kind of sold this idea, but we're sold the idea. And I think it's something we can strive towards. I don't think we're ever going to really get to full anarchy.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, if we get to that point, I might turn into a statist and go, I don't know, I need somebody to, you know, make sure that this contract that I'm sending a load of blueberries across the country, there has to be some kind of, I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody that'll send some kind of information on how that could work in a peaceful society, and I'm all for it. But
yeah, if we ever get to the point where that's what we're trying to figure out, I mean, we're in a way better place than we are now. I mean, that's the thing there.
People are making blood enemies over like minarchist versus anarchist arguments. And we're like, you know, the COVID regime type shit's happening. The drug war ain't slowing down. You know, a lot of liberals think it is, but they're like, they're halfway talking about weed legalization and talking about making menthol cigarettes illegal. And nobody that really halfway pays attention isn't batting an eye to that, isn't sitting there going like, you know, oh, well, that's just going to cause more cop interactions, more violence towards citizens, and then more people that are going to sit here and like be mad at that, and rightfully so, and more strife, and we're just going to keep cycling, and the news will try to frame it in a way that will somehow split the country, like on race or something, like they do, and we'll be, I don't know, it'll keep happening, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about religion, because, you know, I think a lot of in the libertarian movement, a lot of these people that are kind of pushing this embrace of religion, and by embrace, I don't mean tolerance of religion. I mean, like, you know, religion needs to be part of our libertarian message, and people who don't like that can go fuck themselves. You know, that's becoming the thing with some people. And it seems like with that particular group of people, they're mostly people who have come from the left, and they want, you know, they want some sort of structure to stand on. So their idea of what Christianity is, you know, going to church on Christmas and Easter and believing that after you die, you're going to go to heaven, and, you know, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, which, you know, those aren't bad things, I don't think. But you and I have a very specific experience growing up under like extremely religious rules. And it wasn't just, I don't want to speak for you, I'll let you give your story. But for me, it was not just going to church occasionally and believing that you'd go to a better place when you died. Like, it was severe propaganda. If you did certain things, that was the devil tricking you into falling away from God. And, you know, you weren't supposed to hang out with people who could lead you astray because they're, you know, agents of the devil who are going to, you know, sully your path or whatever. And, you know, you're not supposed to look at girls when you're a teenager because you'll have lust in your mind, and that's the same as adultery. And I don't know. I mean, it was like, I don't know if it was that tough for you, but it was like
nothing like that. I didn't realize you were that religious growing up.
Oh yeah, it was
big time.
The whole nine yards. Yeah,
like, I think everybody down here in the South basically grows up in the church. Like, the South is just the church. It's all Protestant. And, you know, I've basically, from going with my grandma real young, and then like we went through different like phases of like checking out, like, mainly like my mom was Baptist growing up, so my grandma would take me to a Baptist church growing up. So I kind of got that kind of flavor. And then I had a neighbor that would take me, my best friend, really. We'd go to a Church of Christ or Church of God. I mix them up. And then going through childhood, we would kind of like, as a family, we'd kind of go to, you know, try different things. So we went to a Methodist church for a little while. Got real weirded out that, like, part of like the creed was like saying allegiance to the Catholic Church. That's really weird down here in the South. None of us trust Catholics. I still don't. I think I trust Protestants a lot more than Catholics. There's something about them. I love Tom Woods. I love all them guys, but there's just something about their Catholicism that just, it weirds me out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just too structured and organized, and they got a whole, you know, a whole thing there that they're, it's like an institution almost state-like. It's voluntary and all that kind of stuff, you know, allegedly. It's a historical institution that they're all really into. But I mean, like, most of my, like, anger or what, it ain't really anger. It's just more like I'm angry at myself for how much intellectual, like, vigorance I put into faith and to, like, religion and really, like, kind of in my late teens, my dad really got into Bible study, like solo Bible study, and kind of going through it. We followed this guy named Les Feldick, and he would, like, go through the Bible and talk about it almost like Bible study, and he'd rip through that whole thing, and that's where a lot of my knowledge came from. And it was never really, like, it was Christian, but definitely Christian-like. There was never anything like, don't look at girls. It was definitely, like, go get them, champ, and that kind of stuff. And we
did. I got to throw a story in here. I don't remember how old I was, but, you know, I was a teenager, at least. I think I was like 13, 14, something like that. You know, Star Wars, The Return of the Jedi, when Princess Leia's in that metal bikini.
Oh, yeah.
My dad skipped that scene in the movie.
No, dad.
That's how strict we were growing up. It was bad. Like,
man,
I mean, I remember. Wow.
That's like Slave Leia.
Yeah.
Ellen Ripley. That's like my muses as a child. I was like sci-fi heroines.
We turned, I think I was like 7 or 8, and we turned off Bug's Life because they said stupid in it. Like, I'm telling you, dude, it was like heartedly strict.
A relative story. I'm probably 12 years old, 13 years old. And we had like DirecTV. I had to be 12 or 13. So like, I was able to rent the South Park movie. I love South Park growing up. I was able to like watch it at my grandma's and nobody knew. It's always been my thing. I love it. That's really one of them roads to libertarianism, is just really following the, for lack of a better word, the philosophy of South Park on everything that they put. But my mom was like monitoring South Park in the other room. I didn't know. And about the time that Saddam Hussein's chasing Satan around with a dildo, she busts in like, I like, that was my level of like, that was too much. So
oh god, if I'd ever been caught doing something. Well, so when I was like, I think I was 16, I didn't cover my tracks very well when I did pornography on the computer, and my dad figured it out. I was not allowed to use the internet at home alone until I turned 18.
man,
dude, like, I mean, my parents were great, by the way. Like, it's funny because they were so controlling in this type of aspect. Like, we had no TV, you know, we just had movies, and like, you were not allowed to watch anything lewd at all. And then obviously, if you get caught, the consequences are huge. But they were completely hands off on like everything else. Like, if we wanted to go backpacking for 30 miles, 80 miles away with friends, like, they'd be like, yep, just don't die. And you know,
yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it definitely was a culture shock once I started working and like here, you know, getting out of my bubble. And I went to, you know, I was homeschooled until high school. Then I went to public school. And so there were all these like culture shocks going to work and going to school and everything. But all in all, I think I'd rather, you know, if it's one or the other, if they're going to be super protective about the culture or super protective about all your, you know, recreational activities or whatever, like, I guess I'd go with the way I was brought up. Cause you can,
it seems easier to adjust from the stupid religious cultural bullshit than if you're pampered from the time you're a kid and, you know, you're not allowed to ride a bike by yourself or you're not allowed to go out in the woods alone or, you know, any of those things. Like they were, I mean, they did not care. They were just like, get back before it's dark and don't die. And that was about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, our parents are all, you know, you can look back and a lot of that is, I'm happy I grew up religious for, mm-hmm. you know, for what it is. Not as religious as you, but.
not quite that extreme.
but yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, it's almost like, I don't know if it is where you grew up, but it's like it's outside of my family. It's like the entire culture. It's the community more.
Well, New Hampshire is like the second most atheist state in the country. So I'm actually from like a very secular state. But my extended family, all my close friends, everybody mm-hmm. was very Christian. So I didn't know.
Reverse. Like it's like my family, that my folks are Christian and, you know, not go to church Christian, but like, you know, they believe in Jesus Christian. And yeah. They do not like how much I say, God damn it. but they're learning to live with it. And I'm learning to try to say it less. But, you know, it was kind of reverse. Like they're semi-secular in their way of just like most of my religious interest in teaching was voluntary and stuff because, you know, I was interested in it with mm-hmm. them. And it was a journey as a family. But like outside, like my community, we're very religious. And like I was even kind of nervous coming on the podcast and coming here and saying, hi, I'm Will Bell, atheist. Because I am a small business owner and I'm trusting the libertarian world out here not to like tattle on my neighbors that that I don't believe in Jesus. and I'm happy to have them conversations about, you know, Jesus and religion. I love it. I'm here for it. It's interesting stuff and it's stuff that kind of built the society around us. Like they love to remind us of, but I mean, so did all the culture that people, you know, the art people made and the state build the culture, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily make the morals behind it. Morals we should strive to live by. That's something I hear a lot about, like from atheists that are kind of like trying to like white flag to some of these Christians that, you know, like, we kind of the morals behind the thing is all just like follow God. It basically all boils down to like obey God. And it just, I think it kind of sets you in this slave mentality where you're set to obey the state. And a lot of them like, yeah. think that if you don't have like God to fill your heart and your mind or whatever, that you're going to like let the state take over. But I mean, you know, just like me, it didn't have to be that. It's probably what has taken its place as liberty. You know, that's kind of like my religion is like hoping that one day we live in a world that is more voluntary, is, you know, things that we have to do collectively is done in a peaceful manner, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know what it takes to get there, but I'm here for it. You know, if it takes right now us getting behind Dave Smith for president so he can just do a little bit of getting up there and talking that liberty shit that he does very well. I love Dave. I've been a fan of him since like the very first Ari Shaffir State of the Union. I don't know how many years that is back. Like I just saw, oh, crude comedian that likes libertarianism and or is a libertarian and he has grown to be an excellent spokesperson for us.
Yeah.
And stuff. And if it takes, you know, right now us just pushing that little bit just to get like a microphone in front of people and just like him talk a little bit of liberty shit and get a little bit more people at least on our side. Just to push towards that future. That's the best thing I'm seeing now. Maybe the people that hate him and his crudeness and our crudeness or whatever Well, the people that hate our crudeness like his crudeness. Like, it's different camps, but
yeah, there's overlap. People hate us and like him and vice versa. So
every libertarian hates every other libertarian. Like, when you find me and you agree on a shocking amount of things, one day we're going to find something and we're going to be blood enemies. We'll be like Josh Smith and like that cat lady dude or something. Like, 10 years from now, one of us is going to be obese. And I don't know these people, and this is, I don't know what they're fighting over, but like I said earlier, all these podcasts and this network is like coming alive, and you're starting to see these little stories untie. And I hope it all comes with us all like kind of, you know, liberty, unity and all that kind of stuff. But it's going to take a lot of infighting. When the stuff happened and Nick Sorrell left the party, and I thought we were like, we did it. We won, you know, it was that easy. Yeah. And then like a week later, Pete Quiznones, like, just, and not just him, but other like dudes are just like, yeah, this shit ain't even worth it. And I know he's always been like, this is dumb. The Libertarian Party's dumb or whatever.
Yeah.
But like all these people just like almost like, oh, we got the party. And now they just want to be like, well, let's fight about something different. And I see that happening probably, you know, 100 more times until we at least
get
behind hating something else.
I mean, I kind of wondered how that was going to work out, because I was almost upset that the Pragmatist Caucus just dissolved as early as it did, because I was like, all right, are people actually going to start punching up now, or are they just going to find something else to get angry about? And it seems like religion was the most recent thing that people found to get fucking angry about, and it was retarded. It's so dumb. But it was over some jokes that were made, and people were, oh, it was so stupid. But I think you're right. Like, I mean,
what do you think the next war is going to be over? Now, this month, it's religion, and we'll all forget that. I think it's all kind of been settled in the Twitter threads. But what do you think the next?
Immigration seems to be the one that's forming right now, even though, so I talked to Dave about this, and he has Ron Paul's position on immigration, which is pretty fucking good. You know, it's like, abolish the Department of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. Don't build a wall, don't lock people in cages, end the welfare state, end the war on drugs, and stop cooing South American countries or countries anywhere, you know, Syrian refugees, like
I bet every libertarian, when they're like held down and like, do you agree with that? They're going to agree with it. And some people like to call that open borders, and some people like to call that closed borders. And it's really fucking stupid. Like, it's just like, okay, we're never going to have purely open borders, just like we're probably never going to purely end the state. Maybe we will, but I definitely, as a farmer, would like to see more open borders, like more people able to freely come across and do work, you know, in fruit fields and vegetable fields and that kind of thing. When I grew up, there were so many Mexican Americans in our community, and you know, some people bitched about them, some people didn't. We had a couple brothers and their family that lived on our farm and helped us a lot, and they were great workers. They you know, their kids were going to our schools or whatever, but they paid their fucking taxes just like everybody else. You know, maybe they didn't pay all the taxes that I don't know, like maybe there was somehow that they were avoiding taxes that Americans do. I'm sure it's never a complete fair, you know, playing field, but mm-hmm. they were paying their taxes as far as they were being paid by us. And then like the government started during the Bush years, you know, getting involved in immigration and stuff and threatening to, you know, come after business owners for even employing people that were illegal, which sounds crazy now that people just accept. But back in the day, it was just like, oh, well, it made us quit using them, and they had to go back to Mexico or go somewhere else. I don't know where they went. And they had a nice kids and family that, you know, lived out here and were quite happy, and we were quite happy with them.
Yeah. And then, you know, ask everyone, when was the economy doing better, in the 90s or now?
Yeah.
You know, like,
absolutely. And, and now if you want to get like migrant workers, say us as a farm, we want to get migrant workers to come out here and pick our fruit. You know, we don't hand pick our fruit anymore because of this. We went to machine picking, but a lot of people do. And what they have to do is set themselves up with the government through contracts like H-2A programs and stuff. And they have to set themselves up like a year in advance and just get involved in stuff that I'd rather not, like just promising people work a year in advance when I don't know if my crop will be there, that kind of stuff. And I'm sure there's ways around it and stuff, but it gets to the point where you have to supply them with a house, even though we did naturally, but it's just like, now it's a regulation. So, you know, a regulator's coming there and they're going to like be like, well, is the screen on their porch fastened? There was that kind of stuff. Like, we would have to turn into like basically landlords to these people. We'd also have to like supply them with like, take them to town, like to do it. It just kind of became like they want us to take care of these people. They took care of themselves. They came here, they worked. There was, you know, basically there were years when I was a teenager that most of our crew and stuff were Mexican men and women, you know, in our packing shed. We'd work them, and it was half and half. There were locals and stuff, but it worked out. Human action worked out. People were able to just handle it, and they even had their own like micro economies in our community. Like, there were Mexican stores that were owned by like some Mexican dude that would send them stuff to, like, you know, call back home and send money home and stuff. And now, after years of the federal government working really hard and spending a lot of our tax money on doing it, they've basically cleared them all out, you know. To the point of like, I had friends like that I grew up with in school, and one of them became a fucking Marine. And during this Trump shit, when they were rounding up, you know, illegal Mexicans, his mom, they rounded his mom up. I don't know if she was completely deported. I never heard back. It was like something I just seen, but it's like the amount of work that our federal government does on our fucking dime to take these people and just throw them back over there across that fucking border. It's madness. And the fact that we can't, like, as libertarians take a stance like that's going, like, we're for more open borders. We need to really be against that shit. It's, I don't see a drain on our community or society with immigrants. And I see it as Mexicans coming in and that kind of stuff. I don't know, you know, other people across the country, how their experiences are with immigrants, but I've never, you know, it's.
Yeah. I worked with them in Colorado for 6 months on, you know, doing roofs, and they were trying to hire Americans at $18 an hour. And we'd have some white guy show up and he'd be around for 2 days and then he'd have enough and he'd be gone. But then you have 10 Mexicans who want the job. Yeah. So, I mean, this idea that they're driving our wages down and, you know, you can't, you know, I mean, some of them are working in really horrible conditions, making $5 a day or whatever, but, you know, there are Mexicans who are doing skilled work because Americans don't want to do it anymore. Especially now, you know, especially with all the, you know, the shortages and people not working, like, there are Mexicans who want to do the work. So, I mean, it's a manufactured crisis, you know, or it's not even a crisis. It's a manufactured imaginary crisis, you know, that doesn't exist, that they're destroying our country and bringing the quality of life and the economy down. It's just complete bullshit.
It's complete bullshit. And it's like the libertarian movement, whatever it is, I don't think it should focus. I think we should try our hardest to not lean into right or left.
Yeah. Kind
of mentality. We got to go, like, And I know people hate this shit, the Gary Johnson type, like it's, we're right down the middle. It's like everybody's libertarian and nobody believes that now. But it's like, I think our philosophy is like catered to America, American people. It might not be everybody, maybe in New York City and California. I've only been to California once in my life. Wasn't a fan, but, but, like, I don't know, like that's where most of the population is. I don't know if they're still catered to our ideas, and maybe some of that comes into like where we have to reach out to Green Party types and independent left types and stuff, where we have to make them start considering identifying themselves as libertarians, like left libertarians, and bring them ideas, and we will argue with them and we will hate them, and they will sit here and talk about like how they don't really believe in property rights, and but their existence in a libertarian sphere does like kind of create maybe people that can reach out to people in cities and more urban populations, because they don't want to hear our shit about guns. They don't want to hear our shit about like just being left alone. I don't know. Maybe they do. I haven't really talked to too many people.
Yeah. What pisses me off is the people that I defended kind of early on as good left libertarians, they've just turned out to be woke pieces of shit. You know, I mean, it's been so discouraging, because like Breonna Coyle was one of them. I didn't know her that well, but saw what she was doing and what she was talking about. And I was like, I invited her on my show early on and she was going to come on. And then I had Ryan Dawson on and she just fucking lit me up on Twitter about it. And
what was she against Ryan Dawson?
He's the anti-Semite or whatever, you know, just the typical tropes. And then I had Pete Quinones on and she flipped out about, and then she just started going insane on me. So I blocked her. But I mean, that's happened with a lot of people that I sort of vouched for. I was like, hey, no, they're libertarians. They just have a different approach that doesn't violate the non-aggression principle, but it's just not packaged the same way we say it. And I was wrong about almost all of them.
Yeah, it's a shame, because I really like, again, like us kind of like swimming in them Tulsi waters or whatever. That's like you see a lot of those people and you see the potential and what, you know, and some of them are. I see some of the people coming over to libertarianism. Mm-hmm. Some of them, you know, like you said, they're just kind of coming in here and not really. It's woke shit. Easy to hate woke shit that people just hopefully they grow out of
or yeah.
Whatever. And I mean, like, our society's gotten so woke that it's hard to really be like, but it used to be like kind of like fucking cool and punk rock to fucking be like, hey, fucking, you know, like be nice to gay people and shit like that. And yeah. Now it's getting shoved down our throats so much that when people still want to remind, everybody's tired of talking about it or whatever. It's become just mainstream. And it's like y'all won and I don't know. You would think they would focus a little bit less on making enemies like they do. Just like everybody that's not completely down the line accepting of every type of sexuality, every like that didn't exist 5 years ago. I'll call anybody whatever pronoun they want to be called, all that kind of stuff. If they give me a minute to like, you know, understand it and the ability to giggle about it if it's funny. Because I mean, some of the shit is funny, like that Fakitarians podcast. Yeah, what the fuck, man? Like, how do you not at least just go like, what's going on here, buddy? Like. I mean, I've never, I get people are into that and want to, you know, discover their self through some kind of therapy through that. That's doing something therapeutic to them, but it's still like, you should still have the ability to laugh about shit that's silly. And I think they've gotten to a point where they're literally like daring us to laugh. Like, they're just like fucking using dildos as bunny ears and fucking just, they're using, wearing clown outfits. And if you giggle, you're a bigot. And yeah. I mean, it's hard to really like take them seriously. And, but you know, shit, maybe either they'll grow out of it or the world is just going to go so far that direction that it's just going to be like, you know, one of them things that, hey, whatever, he's a cat person. That's the cat community over there. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Whatever, however anybody wants to like liberty, it's going to be like some Hoppians doing their, you know, Christian communities or whatever. And then there's going to be the libertine communities where people are hanging out in furry costumes, and it, hopefully we'll have some in between where normal people can, you know, live our lives and, you know, kind of, yeah, we can enjoy them people. I like people from both of them kind of camps and stuff, but some of it on both ends gets a little silly sometimes.
Yeah, it's the, I mean, I don't care if you're a furry or if you're transgender or if you're Christian or super trad or whatever. It's when you make that more important than the actual issues we're trying to combat. And we've, you and I have seen that happen from both sides in the last couple of months. It's been ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the more wokeitarian types, like there are always some who were so obviously out of it, like Archie and Nick Starwark, like those guys were lost causes. But there were some people like Brianna, as much of a bitch as she is, like I still see some value in her as a libertarian. Like I think that she has fire and passion and she's very smart, but she just chooses to die on the dumb hills.
I never really had much interactions with her, but she always just seemed ready to fight over anything. It's just like, you kind of like, hey, I slightly disagree. And they're like, and it's just, okay. And I don't know. Like, I remember my first interaction with her. I, like all libertarians do, go through that phase where you're tired of referring to yourself as a libertarian and want to look for some kind of like different new unique way. It's kind of not too far from the cat people. Mm-hmm. But like, I was like, I'm an anarcho-centrist. Like, yeah. I think, and then she had that tag, and like we had a few interactions and she pissed me off so much of just her shittiness towards me that I'm like, well, I ain't a fucking anarcho-centrist. So I thought that
I don't know why these people. So I do think most of these like woke-itarians are just retards. They're just stupid. Where I really think that she is very smart, but she just chooses dumb battles. But it's like, why can't you use all this angst and hatred against the state or against, you know, vaccine passports or against ICE deporting immigrants or whatever it is, like, instead of us, like instead of you, like why are you going after Will with your vitriol or me? Like, aren't there bigger targets to go after? And that was kind of what the Liberty Unity thing was all about, you know, because a lot of people got angry when I brought that idea up because they were like, these people are attacking me incessantly and you want me to ignore that? And I'm saying, no, I want them to stop attacking you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want them to start attacking the actual enemies, not you.
Or attack each other. Attack each other. And like, listen, like actually listen to the arguments that another libertarian is like bringing to you. And maybe you're wrong. And maybe you're, and they're right, or vice versa. And if more people could have arguments where they're trying to actually get to a solution instead of one up the person with shitty comments. Like, Twitter's perfect for that. And I love Twitter. It's basically the one social media I haven't quit. Cause it's just so much like, it's almost like the world mind, like everybody just jumps in there. And that's a representation of our world, is just everybody hates each other. And we just want to fight about whatever fucking a political person or celebrity did. And we're all in our little in groups, and in our in groups, we have like civil wars and shit. And you can like really just have at it, man. And I just kind of hope as Twitter evolves, because it has, it's definitely changed from what it was 10 years ago. You, when did you get on Twitter?
Oh, what, in 2020?
I was on for a decade.
Oh, wow.
I fucking loved it. And I, you know, never had a big account or anything, because I'm never really, I'm just kind of slightly shit posed, talk about music and movies and comics and that kind of shit. And then libertarianism. And it was really cool, like connecting to like libertarians through it during the Gary Johnson, when we got Gary Johnson trending on Twitter, it was just like, you know, that was cool. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to be like, oh my God, we got Gary Johnson trending on Twitter. He's definitely going to be president now. Like, they can't stop us. But it's, I think, and I hate that they're like censoring stuff, but like through their like censoring, people are like having to use different forms of communication. And eventually we're going to get to a point where we have to like continue having these, like, where nobody's leaving Twitter. I hope everybody that hates Twitter and the way that they're doing just stays on here and just keeps like going over like their little, like, you can't say words that can be construed as violence, no matter how mundane. I got kicked for telling Chelsea Clinton that Tulsi Gabbard Hawaiian punched her mom or something lame like that. But people are starting to have like, or they've always had really interesting conversations on Twitter. And I hope libertarians on both sides or all the sides can start sitting here and like actually listening to the others and trying to get somewhere. Now, I'm not saying like fall back on property rights or any kind of like significant issues like that, but at least like listen to a few cat people. And if we can turn them into like better libertarian cat people, you know, you got them. It's that we got a long way to go. And I don't know if it's going to be through the Libertarian Party or what's your position in the party politics? Are you official? Like, you're a member, right?
Yeah. I'd never been registered as a libertarian. I was an independent. I was actually a Republican in 2016 still. And I remember I specifically wanted to vote for Gary Johnson as a Republican, just as a middle finger, you know? And so I didn't register as an independent until after 2016, but then I was independent. And then I moved out here to Utah, and you can register as a libertarian in Utah. So I was like, all right, did that. And then I joined the Utah Libertarian Party last year, started paying my dues or whatever. And then this year I joined LP National and the Mises Caucus and all that. So I'm a monthly donor. And I don't know, man, like I guess I'm going to give it till 2024 in the Libertarian Party. And if nothing starts to really shape up by 2024. So in that time, I want to see Angela McArdle become the chair and then Dave Smith be the nominee in 24. And next year, I want to see the Libertarians win something, you know, state houses, whatever it is. Just
anything. Anything.
And then if by 2024, we haven't made any significant grounds with anything, I'm probably going to give up on the Libertarian Party and just, you know, I don't know. I don't really, I mean, that's depressing to think about, but I'm just totally in like for the next 3 years, just like, hey, I'm going to give money and energy and time to this, 'cause I really care about it. And, you know, I've only been invested in shit parties before. I've only, you know, tried with Rand Paul and Tulsi Gabbard, and it was a complete fucking joke. But I feel like I can actually make a difference in this space. And I've noticed a lot of my friends are really receptive to it, you know, especially like the Dave Smith and Ryan Dawson videos I do. Like, they love them. So I don't know. I'm hopeful a little bit. What about you? What's your trajectory with it? Like, how long?
Well, I've been like since the basically 2012 Ron Paul days, like I was kind of turned on, like red pilled or what, not even that, but just kind of on board for liberty in the Ron Paul. And that was really like when Dave Smith and everybody talks about like the liberty movement having actual like fire behind it. That is the last time I remember it too. Like right there, I got that taste of it. You know, my brother, a few friends of ours, like we were actually like, we support Ron Paul collectively, had like a little Facebook group for our county. We put in some money and like put a ad in the paper for them and that kind of stuff. And maybe got them a few votes, got some signs and put them up, that kind of thing. And after that fell apart, swore I'd never forgive the fucking Republican Party ever again. Maybe I will, but whatever. Really liked Gary Johnson after that, but just never felt any kind of like fire under my ass for this shit. But I was there, you know, voting here in Georgia. I can tell them I'm Republican or Democrat right at the door. It's 5 minutes down the road for me. Check a box and walk out. It's not a big deal. So I've always just, whatever, libertarian all the way down, and any other guy that, you know, person that I kind of slightly know or like on the ballot, maybe, but
yeah,
whatever. And I think I told you this, but like when you had Dave Smith on your podcast and he was talking about the Joe Jorgensen campaign not paying attention to Scott Horton on Syria, and Syria was a big red pill for me because like I remember Iraq and Afghanistan, but I was not paying attention at that point. All my like that's fucked up is in retrospect, but Syria, I remember Obama trying to get into it and the American people saying fuck no, and then like basically everything that you've seen it, I mean you've been here, they were trying to essentially topple that government, and our corporate press just basically showing their face and all that kind of stuff. And you know, seeing that, seeing the fact that the Libertarian Party, that pissed me, like the race, the we must be anti-racist thing, I was always like, yeah, that's silly, but I don't give a shit about it, whatever. Right. But they're not paying attention to Scott fucking Horton on Syria as the Libertarian Party. I said, fuck it, I'm joining the state party and I'm joining the national party. And I did. I've not joined the Mises Caucus yet, basically because the Christians scare me off, you know, talking about trying to like, hey, let's let kids, you know, do prayer in school and that kind of stuff. And it's like, guys, I don't want to really, we got public schools here. And if we're going to start like advocating kids, like doing the prayer in school and that kind of stuff, like it's allowed. The next step is like having teachers involved in it. And then that gets into really like that whole secular, like we're crossing a barrier there. And if you're into that, you're into it. But it weirds me out down here in the South. Kind of like one of the few good things about like the federal government is that it is secular.
Right. Well, you know my opinion on that. I think we started going downhill when we took Under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
No, that was a beautiful tweet, man. I read it and I was like, I took it like the way, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, yeah. And then I saw what you did there. Beautiful, man. That was a wonderful shit post. And I've seen a few dummies like not getting it.
Yeah, they fell for it.
Did it go on throughout the night? Like, did it get?
Yeah, there were like, I don't know, probably 10 people who were like, amen. You know, like, that's true. I was just like, I loved your comment because someone was like, when did they take it out? And you were like, 1954, look it up. And then you're like, it says they added it back then. And you were like, that's some crazy Animal Farm shit. Like, dude, that was fucking hilarious.
Sometimes two legs are better, man. Like, they got you. And then he even came out like, I don't know. I'm hoping the dude wasn't serious, or maybe he is. Maybe he's just a boomer dude. I followed him, like, it was a mutual following of somebody, but he was just like, yeah, well, them Democrats, they probably would try to take it out.
Yeah, I don't see the Mises Caucus as like really Christian. There's just a few people who are. I mean, Scott Horton's, you know, he's definitely Mises Caucus. He's not religious. You know, then there's like some of the guys I met in New Hampshire who were part of the takeover there, like, are, you know, not religious or whatever. Like, but I mean, the other thing is, like, I think I want more non-religious people to be prominent libertarians, because atheists who are statists really piss me off. Like, that, there's nothing that makes me angrier than that. If you're someone who doesn't believe, if you're not a theist, you don't believe in like a man up in the clouds, but then you think a man in a fucking government building can have the same power over you, take your money, tell you how to live, tell you what you can put in your body. Like, yeah, that drives me nuts to no end.
You're a Sam Harris fan, right?
Yeah. Sort of, like,
you know half of his dental theology or whatever.
Theology, yes, yeah.
From the four horsemen of the atheist apocalypse, would he be your guy, Sam Harris?
Like, you got yeah, dude, you know what really pissed me off about Sam Harris is his Trump derangement syndrome, because like, terrible. I mean, the thing is, like, if your thing is acting out of logic instead of emotion, which has always been his thing, like, always like use logic, but then you get so emotional about Trump, like, your credibility just goes out the window. So I really, and especially because he was so good on the woke shit, you know, he's so good on the social warrior crap, but then he just completely lost it on Trump, and I lost a lot of respect for him after that. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, I mean, I still think he has a lot of really valuable things to say, but I mean, who else is there? Like, there aren't a lot. Yeah.
You got Dawkins, you know, and Dawkins was always kind of boring, sciencey.
Yeah.
And he's deaf.
And then, I mean, Ryan Dawson is my favorite atheist spokesman, I guess. You know, he talks about
all the time. I've been on the internet my whole life. How did I miss Ryan Dawson's existence?
Well, like, he's been throttled pretty hard, banned from everything, you know, so it's not that
he started out as like a kind of like 9/11 guy or something like that.
He was talking about like libertarian shit before Ron Paul ran in 2008. Like, he was talking about the Federal Reserve and the war in Iraq and how it was a war of deception. And none of his stuff was catching on because, you know, people just didn't care about it. And then Ron Paul came around in 2008 and he was like, yes, people are finally talking about this. And, but then, yeah, he made those documentaries, War by Deception, Empire Unmasked. And, you know, he's just done video after video after video about all this shit. And I found out about him in 2016 because, you know, after Rand Paul floundered in the Republican Party, I was actually like, you know what? It kind of like with Tulsi, it was like, you know, this Bernie guy, I don't know anything about him. I'm going to go, you know, research him a little. He sounds like he's sort of anti-war, anti-corruption or whatever. And then I came across one of Ryan Dawson's videos, and it was Bernie Sanders to the woodshed. And it just brought up all his history about voting to bomb Kosovo, voting for the 1998 Iraqi Liberation Act, the F-35 program in Vermont, just like all this shit. And I was like, holy crap, like, fuck this guy. So then I went into Gary Johnson instead. But that was my first time I ever saw him. But yeah, he's like, I don't know. I almost I'm like his liaison to the Libertarian Party. Like, I'm trying to reintroduce as many people to him as I can, because,
yeah,
you know, he's got valuable shit.
Well, you did it for me, man. Like, I had no idea. I was like, what is this dude with the Palestinian flag and the Confederate flag? If he didn't have your blessing, I would have just been like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then I started listening to him, and he lays it down. He does his homework, and he's not sitting there just spouting his mouth off. And you know, he's got some interesting stuff to say. And it's a shame that he can't participate in the hive mind that is like Twitter or any of these spheres. They're just like stifling interesting conversation about the most important subjects. And then people that just sit here and like, what censorship? You know, like, oh, yeah. Alex Jones got cut off, which is a problem too, even though he's a clown in a lot of ways. But I mean, he says a lot of stuff too. But they're just like, no, he said that stuff about Sandy Hook, and we just can't have that conversation. Not that I think any of that's real or what he said is real, but like, I mean, we should be allowed to say dumb shit and just, hey, you know, the corporate press acted like Donald Trump was the fucking Putin's Manchurian candidate. And that's not even thought about as like misinformation. Maybe it is by like, you know, some people on the right or whatever. Maybe they make that point. I hope they do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just the people in charge will always sit there and use what power they have. And we'll always be sitting here like as libertarians or anarchists or whatever this movement is and will turn into. Like, we'll always be sitting here just kind of rolling the boulder uphill, you know, trying to. And that kind of sounds bleak, but like, it shit does outside of like the fucking plague that we're living through. Like, shit's getting better. You know, like, people are legitimately talking about the wars. Like, not everybody, but like enough people are sitting here like consciously aware of the problems with the American military and like how we've overstretched it. They've overstretched it, not we. But like, these conversations are being had, at least for now. And hopefully this leads to enough people waking up. Do you think, am I being too optimistic? Do you see it?
I don't know. I mean, I guess what I've realized about people is they care about comfort more than anything else. So as long as they're comfortable, they're not going to dig, but they're uncomfortable now. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, like, it's funny when, you know, I either want like Ron Paul as president or Beto O'Rourke. You know, I don't like this like middle ground. Like, I either want someone who's going to be good and doing stuff that we want, or someone who's just fucking horrible. Because
what is Joe Biden? Isn't this just like,
I don't know. He's bad, but he's not like visibly bad to everyone. You know, I mean, the thing is like, I mean, he's obviously unfit and mentally incapable or whatever, but
like, most can win again in 2024.
I don't know. Like, I do believe Donald Trump lost the election too. Like, this is one of those things that I don't know. Like, maybe I'm a blue pilled cuck or something because I believe that. But
no, fuck that shit. Some of them guys love to throw out the blue pilled cuck shit way too quick. I mean, some of them are blue pilled cucks for Trump, and they don't like to fucking admit it. But it's just because he's not one of the fucking lizard people, they love him. And I get that to a certain extent. Yeah. But they're like, he didn't win the fucking election. I mean, and not even like here in Georgia, Biden won, and everybody sitting here, like, I followed every one of these news stories about, oh, something was going on, and all of them come out to be like nothing, no non-stories. Absolutely. Serious people talk about them too, like independent journalists. And then just like the media, when they want to have their narrative put forth, they kind of ignore when it comes out like that was bullshit. And they're just like, oh, well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, my little brother, he works in the elections office in our county. And like, he basically, you know, he sits there. It's like, most of my job is explaining to boomers how we can lose the election. Like, everybody's Christian Republicans around here. They are not like, they're making sure that every one of their votes are counted and stuff. And I get people are nervous about that kind of shit, but just like, him explaining the process of checks and balances behind them, it would be really, really hard for them to pull it off or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean,
not saying that they don't. Like, I'm not the guy to be like, and every conspiracy is dumb. Like, maybe there is, but we just have to prove it before we act so fucking sure and that everybody's an idiot for just being like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it comes back to that original idea where we're talking about proven and negative.
Yeah.
The religious approach to everything, you know, because people were religious about this, just like they were about Russiagate. Like, it had to be true. It was Donald Trump is a traitor and he colluded with Russia to win the election. That is truth and we will prove it. You know, and then the same thing, like Trump absolutely won the election in a landslide. That's the case. And we're going to find the evidence. And neither time did they find the evidence. You know, that's what's so funny to me is like, you can be someone who's like, you know, yeah, Russiagate was obvious, complete bullshit. But then you're just completely brainwashed on the election. You know, I mean, I don't get the
partisanship. Like partisanship is a hell of a drug. It's that right left narrative that it just, even in libertarian circles, it pulls people towards that. Like it is one side versus the other side.
Yeah.
And there are legitimate points on either the right and the left. And it's just that idea has been co-opted in this two-party system and they are all fucking rich assholes and the game has been made out. And every once in a while, there's a real person in there swimming around Congress and they don't last long.
No.
You know, Amash got ran off. Tulsi got ran off. Yeah, Thomas Massey. Man, I hope he can stay there and run the whole damn thing, but I don't see it happening. He'll probably get tired of it and go to his farm.
Yeah.
You know, outside of that, you know, in the Senate, you got Rand Paul, but you know, he serves his purpose up there, and maybe I'm more optimistic about him sticking around, but it's because of a lot of the compromises he makes.
Yeah.
And him alone, like if we had, you know, 20 Rand Pauls in there, maybe we'd be doing something, but him alone up there, it's just, he's going to be out eventually and there's not going to be anybody to replace him. Or if there is one person or two people to replace them, they're just going to be there for essentially us being like holding on to some sort of hope for this political system, which I still want to, because I don't want to be a fucking collapsitarian.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here on my farm. I could survive, you know, I can feed, you know, myself and my family, but I enjoy Marvel movies. I enjoy the fucking, you know, Twitter, that shit, like us sitting here, like having civilization. And, you know, you as a trucker and me as a farmer, like we're kind of out here on the outskirts supplying these cities and this kind of big system that's got all its fucking flaws, but they do make the culture and art that really kind of like make life worth living outside of nature and stuff that we got in abundance. But you fucking go camping for a week and, you know, that last day you're ready to go home and get a shower and fucking snuggle up and watch some Netflix. And if, you know, the people that it's really, I don't know, man, I don't want to spend my whole life like fucking, I'm a farmer, so I'm going to do it. But I also want to like enjoy the society that humankind has built up to this point. Maybe like America, you know, the empire can fall and we can have some sort of like peaceful, that would be awesome. Like if something happened, and we could like maintain, but I mean, shit, they could fucking go crazy, you know?
Fucking
Alabama could be fighting Mississippi and shit could pop off and, you know,
yeah,
you can't drive your truck through there or whatever. And I can't get my blueberries up to Canada or something where I want to sell them or that kind of shit. And then where are we, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to go backwards as a society.
Yeah.
Libertarianism should like carry that torch forward, but, you know, focused.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great episode, man. We're coming up on an hour and a half, so we'll cut it off here. You are one of the most based people that I follow on Twitter. Like some of the things you said have had me in fits of laughter. So I will link your bio in the description so people can go follow you there. But if there's any other plugs, advertise your business, whatever, anything else you want to say, I'll let you say it now.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, the feeling on baseness is absolutely mutual. You're killing it there. And you're hanging out with the big leagues. Like you're a killer in the libertarian movement. Like it's pretty awesome to see. And as far as me, I don't have any shows or nothing. This is my
debut.
Yeah. I've entered the libertarian lexicon now, but, if anybody's interested in the best goddamn blueberry wine on this planet, me and my family make Rabbit Eye wine. If you're interested, go to rabbiteyewine.com and buy it. We're available in 37 states. If you ship, it has to pay shipping costs, but if you're in Georgia, we're available in a lot of liquor stores. And it's a business that me and my dad, my brother and my mom, like we've built with our bare hands and trying to actually make something. So if you're interested, check it out.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for watching. I'm not sure when I'll be streaming next, but coming down the pipe, we've got Abby Martin, Tulsi Gabbard. The next Four Horsemen is going to have Sean Atwood. So lots of exciting stuff. So stay tuned.